Who is knocking at my door? A man's work is never done, I think. Come in. Welcome to Bethlehem, weary stranger, but although I have to say, you don't look as weary as many who have come to my door this day. But come in. My name is Joseph. I am the innkeeper here. And I hope that you are not looking for lodging this night. You do not need lodging. Okay. I assume that you are coming for the census, though, eh? Other business bringing you to town. Okay, well, I am glad you're not looking for lodging. I don't know why you're here. I tell you what, I know why you are. You have heard about my wife Rebecca's cooking, eh? That is understandable. I tell you, my wife Rebecca, one of the best cooks in Bethlehem, and the breads this woman is baking, I tell you, it's amazing. I am not as fat as one of those pigs the Gentiles are so fond of eating. And she is making the best bread in Bethlehem. And I know good bread. I have traveled over the west, villages along the Mediterranean. I have been there. The bread does not compare. The east to the Decapolis. I've been south of the Dead Sea, north of by Capernaum. Every place I go, no place making better bread than right here in Bethlehem. And it makes sense to me. I am no wonder that hundreds of years ago that someone began to call this place Bethlehem, House of Bread. And as you can see, my wife, she is baking very, very good bread. I wish you would come and have some, sit down and have some with me. And I tell you, you should be here. My favorite time of the year, just before the harvest, the wheat is tall and the stalks are golden. And I love to go out on the hillsides in the evening when the wind has quieted down. And sometimes I think it is like acres of swaying gold. And I imagine hearing the very voice of God whispering out the blessing upon the people of David's city. And I tell you this, although this is not my hometown, I have come to love this place. I tell you very much. But won't you please come? Have a bite to eat. You're not hungry? How about maybe some new wine? I have just brought it up from the Valley of Eskel just a few days ago. It is fresh. It is most delicious. You like my cup, eh? I know it's not much to look at, but my father, he gave me this cup before he died. That's good. And his father had given it to him. And for many generations, the men of our family, we have been passing it on one to the other. And every time I am drinking from it, it is almost as though somehow I am connected with all of my family for the last several hundred years. And I have to tell you this, it may be silly, but next to my wife and my daughters is probably the most, at least one of the most precious possessions that I own. But here I am. I am rambling on, and sometimes my wife, she says, Joseph, you ramble too much. And I have told you my name, but I do not even know what your name is. Gabriel. Gabriel. I am thinking that your father, he must be loving you very much to name you after the great archangel Gabriel, man of God. Eh? Well, Gabriel, I tell you this. There's much in me that want to ask, but you are here late at night for business, but you're not spending the night. You are coming to Bethlehem, but you're not registering for the census. But I am not going to ask you any questions, because you know why? Sometimes, Gabriel, my wife, she said to me, she said, Joseph, you are too nosy. I say to her, Rebecca, I am not nosy. I am just curious. She said, oh, that's true. You are a curious one for sure, Joseph. But Gabriel, today, I have been too busy. What with all of these people coming to the, I've been too busy to be nosy or curious. What, trying to get people settled into rooms and help them with food and all of these things. And the whole, and the money, I tell you, the money that all of this has brought to our coffers. I tell you, it has been a good, I do not think I have done this well since, probably since the last Passover. All of these people, I've got, as you can see, I've got people here in my common room. I've got people out in the court. I even have people staying in my stable this night. I do. And the money has been good. Of course, you and I, we know that this is nothing compared to what Augustus is going to bring in. You know, it is amazing to me that there he sits many, many, many days' journey from here in Rome. And one day he wake up, he decide he's going to issue the decree that everybody should return to their hometown for the census. And it does not matter. It does not matter how much it costs you. It does not matter how inconvenient that it is. It does not matter how far you have to travel. Everybody must drop what they're doing and go. And why do you think that is? Huh? And I tell you this, I myself, tomorrow morning, I am going to drop what I am going to leave my wife and my daughter at my work, and I am going to travel back to my hometown, Caesar Augustus. You are thinking maybe he cared about our names or who we are, what we... No. All he cared about, he wanted to know what the name is, yes, and he wanted to know where he lives. We live so he can come and collect the tax or throw us into prison if we do not pay. And I tell you, this is one of those things that deep in my being, it works on me, Gabriel. And the only thing sometimes I can do, my wife, she says, Joseph, you must calm down. Only thing that's helping me to calm down a little bit is my music. In fact, a few days ago, my daughters and I, we wrote this song and about this. Would you mind? It would help me this night. You don't mind if I play? I will play it for you. let me see here. Where are the words for this? There they are. I cannot play it too loud, though, because there are many spies, you know, and they could report to the sentry. There once was a man named Caesar Augustus. Roman emperor was he. He never worked a day in his life, but he was greedy as he could be. So he sat on his throne in the capital city, thinking, how can I get my hands on more gold? Then he had an inspired idea, a plan that was brilliant and bold. A census shall be taken of every household in all of the empire of Rome. Each man must travel to the place of his birth, to the place that he was called home. Then after I've taken an accurate count of everyone young and old, with an
another. Decree I will increase the tax. Then I'll sit back and rake in the gold. Yes, I'll sit back and rake in the gold.
You know, Gabriel, sometimes when it comes to government, all you can do is laugh. Huh? That's the way I'm feeling. Sometimes I think that's the best thing you can do. But you know, more than being silly with these songs like this, you know what I really enjoy doing is, I enjoy imagining what David, how he would sing a song. And the beauty of that music. And if you don't mind, I will sing one for you. Eh? And this too, it calms my spirit a bit. I used to be a man of God, but not anymore. At least not what the Pharisees would call a man of God. You are not going to believe this of humble innkeeper Gabriel. My father, he was one of the most powerful men in all of Israel. He was a member of what we call the Sanhedrin. 71 powerful men in Israel. It is something like the Roman Senate, but different. And he was one of those. Oh, he had such high hopes for me. He sent me to the best rabbis in all of Israel. I learned to read and write Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, all of these things I am learning. When I was a young man, even for a while, I was a scribe. Working in the temple, I would go every day there and I would work. I would copy from one scroll with quill and ink. I would write to another scroll. And I so much loved doing that. And I love the word of God written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms. You know, when you read there, there's so much joy, especially in David's Psalms. I love that. Hear this. Come, let us sing for joy. To the Lord, let us shout. Shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving. Or this one. Shout for joy to the Lord of the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. But I tell you this, Gabriel, the Pharisees, they have taken all of the joy from our faith. To them, our faith, our religion is nothing more than a collection of rules. And for them, the Ten Commandments are not even enough for them. They have made now, there are up to something like 603 rules or something like that. And some of them, they are so ridiculous. I just give you one example. So we know the scripture that of the Ten Commandments. There's one that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is not enough for these Pharisees. They have written many rules that kind of go along with that. One of them, it says this, Gabriel. It says that on the Sabbath day, if you are walking outside, if you're outdoors and you're walking along, you may not spit on the ground. I said, why is that? They say, because if you spit on the ground and the ground is dry and dusty, that when that spittle hits the ground, it will make a little furrow in the dust. And this they call plowing. I'm telling you the truth. And that's just the part, that's a small part, give you small things. And there is no joy anymore in our faith. It is all rule upon rule. I got to the point when I was working there as a scribe that I felt more like I was a donkey, a mule, an ox, and these Pharisees that are put more and more loads upon my back, and it's getting heavier and heavier and more weight to bear. Fortunately, but not understand my story, that 16 years ago, it was a sad fate for our family, but it brought me a happy opportunity. My wife's father, he died, and he had operated this inn, had inherited it from his father. And my wife's brothers, they're men of the outdoors. They did not want to come into this place and run a business. So it fell to my wife. And I tell you, it was a happy opportunity for me because I was able to walk away from my father's expectations, walk away from all of that religion and all of those rules. And for 16 years now, I have been living here. I don't know that I am a man of God anymore. If God is found in all of those rules, then I guess I am not. But please understand, Gabriel, that I still try to do everything right. I try to, in all my business, I am honest, I am good with people. But in these years that I have been here, I seldom go to synagogue anymore. And my Rebecca, every Sabbath day she is going to the synagogue. Every Sabbath day she is saying, Joseph, will you go with me today? And almost every Sabbath day, I am giving her a reason why. Now, she calls them excuses. But you know, there are many Sabbath days when we have guests, and if I go off to the synagogue, who is going to take care of our guests? And I say that to her. She looked at me. Of course, there are also, I have to admit, there are many Sabbath days when we do not have guests. And on those days, I say to her, I say, Rebecca, you yourself know that God worked for 6 days in creating the universe, and on the seventh day he rested. Today, I am going to stay in my inn, and I am going to rest. Oh, Gabriel, she rolled those big brown eyes at me. She said, Joseph, I will pray for you. And I believe that she does. Because if ever there was a woman of virtue, it is my Rebecca. And I also tell you this, Gabriel. I really do not even need to go to the synagogue. Because every Sabbath day, she come back home and she tell me everything what the priest has been saying. Why go? Oh, yesterday she come back. Oh, she was so excited. Gabriel, she said, oh, Joseph, you know what the priest, he's teaching on it. I said, no, I don't know. She said, he's teaching on the Micah passage. Are you familiar? Oh, I have to read it to you. The Micah passage. Gabriel. It is a wonderful passage, and it is one that the people of Israel, and especially Bethlehem, have believed for many years would foretell the coming of the Promised One. It says, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old and from ancient times. And so she reminded me of that scripture, and she said, oh, Joseph, there is something within me that tells me that soon something wonderful is about to happen. And then she began to remind me of all the things that had been happening. And I have to say, there are many, many curious events going on, things that cannot really be explained much. She reminded me, first of all, the story. There was an old man, he was a priest, and his name was Zechariah. And Zechariah, it fell time for his family to go up to Jerusalem and serve in the temple. While he was there, they were casting lots to decide who would go in to light incense at the altar of the Holy of Holies. Oh, I can't even imagine how that would be. And the lot fell to Zechariah. And so the story has been circulating that as he entered into the Holy of Holies, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, he must have been very afraid. I know myself, if an angel of the Lord suddenly is appearing before me, Gabriel, I am going to be quaking in my sandals. Eh? I know. And the angel says to him, Zechariah, do not be afraid. He said, the Lord has heard your prayers. And when you return home, your wife will conceive. And she will give birth to a son. He said, that you are to name the son John. And the angel said to him that this little John, that from his birth, he will be filled with the Spirit. And that the Spirit of Elijah would be upon him. And the third thing was that this John would go before the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord. Well, Zechariah, he's standing there and he's hearing all this, and he says to the angel, how can I know this to be true? because I am old. And he said, my wife is well beyond childbearing years. The angel, as I understand, said to him, Zechariah, because you did not believe me, from this moment until all of these things come to pass, you will not be able to speak. Now, meanwhile, outside of the Holy of Holies, there are people, they are gathered there in the temple, and they are wondering, what is taking this man so long? And they're beginning to worry a little bit. You go in, you light some incense, you come back out. But when Zechariah comes back out, and he could not talk, and he begins making signs, trying to tell them what has happened, they understand he has seen a vision. And I remember back months ago the stories of these kind of coming out through travelers who have been coming from Jerusalem. Well, don't you know that at the end of his time there in Jerusalem, he returned to his home, and after all of those years of praying and hoping, his wife, she became with child. And during that entire time she was with child, Zechariah could not say a word. Gabriel, I have thought about that a lot. And I am thinking, if there's ever a time in a man's life when it is good for him to keep his big mouth shut, it is when his wife is with child. Eh? You know, you look at them and you say something, and they take it the wrong way. They begin crying. So it might not be that bad. When the fullness of her term was over, she gives birth, as you can know, to a son. All the neighbors, they're wondering, what are they going to name this? They think they're going to name him Zechariah after his father. On the eighth day, when they go to have him circumcised and dedicated and named, and the priest asked Zechariah, what are you? He could not speak, so they called for quill and ink, and he wrote the name John. Immediately his mouth was open, he began singing and dancing. He's dancing around with the little boy and praising God, and the story has circulated all throughout Israel. And our people are very excited about this, especially the part where the angel said to Zechariah that he will be filled with the Spirit from birth, that the power of Elijah will be upon him, and he will go before the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord. So Rebecca reminded me that story, and then she also reminded me about, I don't know if you've heard about old Simeon. There's an old man who lives in Jerusalem, and his seems like he's always in the temple. If you've ever gone there, you have seen him. Many people say that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And he claims that the Lord has promised him that before he dies, he will see the Lord's Christ. And of course, people who have heard him say this, we are thinking, if the Lord's Christ is going to appear to Simeon, the Lord's Christ had better hurry up, because old Simeon is getting pretty old. So she reminded me about that. And also Gabriel, and I personally do not pay attention to this kind of thing, but there are many people who are paying attention to the heavens and the stars and things like that. And some people, some time ago, they say that there appeared a new star in the heaven, and it seemed to be getting brighter and even moving. And some folks think that when this happened, it is a kind of foretelling that a new king is to be born. So she reminded me about that as well. And, oh, she was so excited, of course, yesterday when she... And also, I have to add to this story. This, my Rebecca, since we have been married, and even before, as I understand, she she has these dreams, and they're very, very vivid dreams, and sometimes, I have to admit, not always, but sometimes they do come true. I don't know how many times, Gabriel, I have been awakened in the night with her bony elbow poking me in the back, and she's saying, "Oh, Joseph, I've had another dream." I usually roll over to her and I say, "Rebecca, you know I am your only dream come true." This morning, I feel the elbow in my back again. She awakened me. She said, "Oh, Joseph, I believe something wonderful is about to happen." She said, "I have a dream that today we are going to be visited by very, very special guests. And Joseph, you know, with all of these people coming from all over Israel and beyond to register for the census, that perhaps the expected one will arrive today. And perhaps he will make himself known to the world." And so she said, "Joseph, I want you to save our very best room for him." So all day, Rebecca and our daughters, everybody who comes in looking for a place to stay, they're really looking at them very, very carefully. And I know all the time they're thinking, "Wonder if this is the one." And we have filled up our courtyard, we fill up the common room here. And we have three rooms. And the first one came early. He was this man who takes the census. I could not, reject him from taking a room. But I say the best one still. The next who comes asking for a room, the Roman sentry. He is coming to town with two of his men. They are out in the court. He is in the room. I do not understand it at all, Gabriel. What do they think is going to happen here in Bethlehem? That we are going to rise up against the Roman Empire with bread, and we are going... It is ridiculous, them sending them here. So I still have the one room, though. And all day, it is staying vacant. I'm putting people out in the court, any place else but that room. At last, the sun was setting. It was just before dark. And in comes riding on a beautiful chariot, very nice, on a very strong, stout horse, a man of great wealth, apparently, and his servant. And it is dark. Everyone knows nobody travels after dark. He is just there at the last glimpse of daylight. And Gabriel, I'm a man of business. You think I can afford to have my best room staying vacant overnight? And so I let him the room. Well, yes, there were two others that came in, and they came well after dark. And I am thinking, when I heard the knock on the door, I am thinking, who could be traveling so late? There are people out there who will rob a person just for a few pennies. So I go to the door. And there stands a man, and there was his wife, and they are in desperate need of a place to stay, Gabriel, because the woman, she was great with child, I tell you. And he says, "Sir, do you have any lodging?" I said, "No, I have let all my rooms. You see the courtyard here, you see the common room." I really did not know what to do. And so I did what any wise man would do in that circumstance. I called Rebecca. She come. She looked at this woman. She asked them a few questions. They had traveled from Nazareth. That's 3-4 days journey. If you are in good condition, I don't know how long. She looked at me. She said, "Joseph, have you let all the rooms?" I said, "Yes, I just let the day." She began to study it just a little bit. She says, "Joseph, here's what we are going to do." She said, "The girls and I, we will go out to the stable. We will clean it out. Begin to prepare it. And you lead these folks around to the stable. And after you do that, then you must go and fetch the midwife. Because this woman, she could give birth to this child before the rooster crows. And so that's what I did. And they seemed to be settling in okay back there. And I was just coming out to have a bite to eat after all of that. And that's when you come knock. Did you hear that, Gabriel? Sound like a baby to you? Hmm? Gabriel? Did you see what this? That is very strange. He is here one minute, he is gone the next, and I don't know what could have happened to him, but I will go out and hear what this is, the sound of this baby. My guests are not going to believe this. Hey, look. You look, a baby boy has been born in my stable this night. And do you know what they are going to name him? They are giving him the name Jesus. I know, I asked the same question. I said, why did you choose that name? I said, Jesus? The father, he was standing there, holding his son. He said, oh, sir. He said, this is a miracle child. And then he told me this story. He said, many, many months ago, before my wife and I were married, she came and she told me that she was with child. And of course, he said, you can imagine how my heart was breaking. I was angry, trying to decide what I was going to do. I was praying what to do. I had decided, he said, to give a writ of divorce. But the night before I was to go to the law and have this done, he said, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the angel told him this. He said, Joseph, that's his name. He said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take unto yourself Mary. His wife, her name is Mary. Do not be afraid to take unto yourself Mary. Because the child within her was conceived by a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. And his kingdom will never end. Well, just as the man was finished telling me that story, my wife arose from where she was and she saw me there. She says, why don't you two men take the baby back inside where it's a little bit warmer? The man, he handed me the little boy, little Jesus. And he said, you take him in. I'm going to wait here with them. And so I wanted to show you. I wish I could show that man Gabriel. I don't know where he went, but... So, there you are. I am holding you in my arms, and I just am wondering if you are the expected one. We have been waiting a long time for the expected one, but I don't know if you are Emmanuel, God with us, maybe instead of me holding you, I should be kneeling down before you, little one. But your eyes, they are so bright and so clear. Yes, they are. I don't know if this could be true. Oh, you want to touch old Joseph? I do not understand this in my mind, but I believe it in my heart that you are the one. And wouldn't it be just like God to restore the joy of my salvation through a child? Oh, there is so much joy in a child. I do believe. But I tell you this, you are not what we were expecting. We were expecting, I say, more of a conquering king. But yet I will say to you, you have conquered my heart already. Oh, and if you are a king, perhaps tomorrow, what do you think? We will kill the fatted calf, huh? I know that's not much interest to you right now. If you are a king, perhaps you would... Yes, you don't really need that, do you? But I want to do something. I want to give you something. You know, my father, he gave me this just before he died. To look at. But it is probably my most prized possession. And although you probably can't use it right now, perhaps someday you will. We had brought you inside. I wish you could have been born in one of my best rooms. Tomorrow we will bring you in, even if I have to give you my room. Oh. And I pledge this to you, little man, as well. I make this vow to you. If ever again in your life there comes a time when you need a place to lay your head, as certain as my name is Joseph of Arimathea, I pledge that I will give you that place. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen.